Welcome everyone to Sitting on the Couch with the Comedy Convict Show, where we have unfiltered conversations with trained comedians. I'm your host, Sharonda Jacobs. Welcome everyone to Sitting on the Couch with the Comedy Convict. My name is Sharonda Jacobs, and this is
Keith Lookaround Morris.
And that's
Big Sid.
So today our topic would be about life after death. How different ways that people grieve
and coping with it.
Coping with the grief.
Oh shit.
What the hell you jump for, fool? And it's like a lot of people understand that people deal with death different ways. And that's a lot of things we hear to talk about. We have a special guest tonight. She lost her husband about a year ago. Miss Tuesday. She's sitting over here. And we're glad to have her on the panel tonight.
Pretty she wanna be. That's
right. I share his head trying to get his beard.
No, I'm not. I'm just giving up. I like to see beautiful women.
I like to see beautiful women too.
Yeah, I acknowledge beautiful women when I see them.
But the good thing about the good thing about it is, ain't nothing we can do with them.
You a damn fool.
Okay, so with grief, people always want to tell people how to grieve, but nobody can tell you how long to grieve or how to grieve. I feel like long as you don't get stuck in it, then you're okay.
But you know, a lot of people do. They get so depressed, they don't even come out of it. And then next thing you know, they die.
Yeah. But some people die from a lonely heart. Yeah. It depends on, like, how long you've been married. Like, you could be married to somebody for 50 years, and then that person die. I don't care if y'all argue, fight all the time or whatever, but when that person go away, you still sad.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I just recently lost my dad in 2021.
Oh.
And it fucked me up real bad because that was my daddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I noticed, like, my mama didn't shed no tear, right? Like, the fuck's wrong with you, mama? But I got up to use the bathroom one time, she was in that motherfucker booing like a motherfucker.
So it's like this with me. Like, I lost my parents back to back, my biological parents back to back. My mom died, then my dad died. My dad never walked past my mom's casket. He came through the back of the funeral home to the side, and he sat in the back of the funeral home. He never looked at her in the casket. When I lost my sister, that hurt me worse than losing my parents. And I still grieve a lot for my sister. You know, even though I grieve for my parents all the time, because people don't understand, when you lose your parents, that's like, it'd be your right and your left side. But when you lose your sibling, it's like your back just got blew out. Yeah. So people don't realize that. I guess because you and your sibling have that bond.
Yeah, well, I lost my grandmother in 2004. And the thing about it was, and see, the bad thing about that was, she saved my life. Because I had an accident the day she died.
Oh, wow.
And it was a trip. Two semi-trucks hit my Acura, and I went a 360 turn. One hit me, then the other one hit me. Bow!
Ooh.
And I just got up, and it seemed like my grandmother just snatched me out. You know? And it's like you miss her, but you're like, damn, my grandma just saved me. Because you feel, you see a spirit. You see me. And a lot of people don't believe spirits are true.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
You know, they're there. And they're there to protect you, not to harm you. And a lot of people be like, oh, I don't never want to see a spirit. They're there for a reason.
When I lost my son in 2006, my bad, he was 11 years old, had an enlarged heart for a whole year. All I can picture is him laying down, taking his last breath.
Wow.
And I'd be driving and it took us a while. Like I said, I lost my marriage behind it. Because everything, of course, was my fault. We playing football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
But that happens, you know, a lot of people, like you said, we all grieve different. Miss Tuesday, now I know you're still going through the process, but how are you coping with it since, you know, your husband passed away? And if everybody don't know who her husband is, it was D. Militant, one of my colleagues I came up with for over 30-some years.
With the loss of Daryl, I'm still processing the loss of Daryl. See, what makes his death different from a lot of other people, he did a lot of work. He was on television. He was on the radio. The day that he passed away December 5th, 2021. That day, I left the hospital after they called his death time. And I turned on the radio. he came on the radio.
Wow, man.
And and it was funny because Daryl told me that he was gonna haunt me. Okay, and so after that, I started seeing him on TV.
Yeah,
he started popping up in places.
Oh wow!
And so his favorite number, his lucky number, was 17. Every time the alarm would go off or something, 17 would pop up. 17. Everything was like 17. Doctor's appointments for my daughter, they would just randomly call. Hey, we have your daughter scheduled for such and such 17th. And I'm like, what? You know, so I'm like, D, really? Can you knock it off, please? You know? And then most recently, he was on that Kevin Hart, what is it? Right to Offend, that show Kevin Hart did. Daryl was all through that show. Okay. And all of that was like pre-recorded footage. Wow. You know what I mean? So, and then Guy Tori's show, that Fat Tuesday,
yeah.
D popped up in that. Lunel sent me a video. She said, here's your baby. And I looked at the text and it's D. And I'm like, I can't not see him. I can't not feel him, you know? But the process, I feel like for me, we were together for 14 years. We have a 12-year-old. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. The pain that you feel, you cannot describe.
Right.
True. You know, and I feel like now with comedians, it's been a lot of deaths back to back to back to back. Yeah. Comedy has been hit hard.
Yeah.
Usually it's singers, it's always rappers.
Right.
But when the comedians start dying, I personally feel like, you know, that's the laughter that the world needs. Right. Gone.
And it's so funny because, like you said, we lost David Arnold 2 weeks ago. And I didn't know how big David Arnold was in the industry.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This boy had big belts under him. He never bragged about it.
I know, I rolled down.
I'm still grieving because me and David Arnold was friends.
Wow.
You know, it's a certain way that a lot of people come about, oh man, how do you feel? I feel I lost a brother in the comedy business. Because you got some comics that don't give a jack shit about you and they play that false ass game. Now, we don't have to see, like Sid, I don't have to see Sid in 5, 6, 7 years, no matter how big he get in the industry, but as long as he still treat me as Keith Morris,
right,
then I know he's a respectable brother. And that's how David and D was one of the guys that got me to do the BET award show, the warm-up. When they first did the award show, nobody knew about the first one. They came back with the bullshit one. But we had the first one. And when you got friends like that, and I can call, hey, man, I got a show. Or, hey, Keith, I got a show. It ain't this much money, but would you do it? Yeah, you my homie.
I remember when I first met D. Middleton, I was like maybe like a year in the game. Mm-hmm. And we was at Marv, we was doing Marv's show. And as I was doing my comedy, he can tell I was nervous because I kept walking down. He said, man, stand your ass still, man. I said, well, I'm just trying to get it. He said, nigga, you nervous.
Yeah.
He said, stand your ass still and deliver your shit. And that was the first time I met D, you know, talked to him after that. He gave me some good advice, and I never seen him again.
And it's just like AJ. It's like the AJ, you know?
Right.
No matter how much we didn't see each other, but when we see each other, it's like, and we're still brothers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's one thing about the industry. Nobody owes us nothing in this business.
Nobody.
That's in this world, though.
But we just said in the comedy business because everybody think because you make it,
you got to pull the other person up.
You know, and that's what things people understand. You got to pull your own self up. I mean, it's cool when somebody say, hey, man, I got a role for you. Appreciate that. But nobody really owes you nothing. But deep down inside, it's like, man, we came up together. Why you came to help me out, you know? But that's why you still had them good brothers in the business. But say, hey, man, I got an extra for you. You know, so you lose people like that.
Yeah, speaking of AJ, I remember when AJ got in the car. When they found out he was dead, Peanut had a car wreck that same day.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
And I remember him calling me. I won't talk about the conversation, but I remember him calling me and telling me he was in a car wreck. And then I felt kind of bad because he's on his way to my house, so I felt kind of bad for
but
him.
But that's the thing that I told you when my grandmother passed away.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what made me think about it. Yeah. It's like,
you know, it's something to let you know, hey, change your life. Because I was a bad-ass person. Change your life, you know. And I really started really guiding into the movie part of the life, you know. Okay, mm-hmm. Now I want to be a producer. I want to be a director. I'm already a comedian. So I started really changing. Yeah, I started changing
my life. You're a comedian?
No, I'm not a comedian. I'm an entertainer. This is my
thank
silly ass
manager. Thank you for the clarification. Thank you.
This is my silly ass manager. She don't know what she has.
Sharonda!
But you know what, though? But just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, like, yeah, no one owes you anything in comedy. But what I can say that my husband, he was known for was when he was producing BET's Comic View. If he knew you were doing stand-up, he made sure he got you on that show.
That's true.
He put a lot of people on that are like major players in the game right now. And then, in addition to that, he wanted to make sure that black comedy was preserved. That's why he wrote that book, Black Comedians on Black Comedy, because it covered our history in comedy. Yeah. And Cold Black... they got the rights for the book to then do a documentary called Why We Laugh. Mm. Okay. And that documentary was picked up by Showtime at the Sundance Film Festival in 2009. And that also displayed urban comedians in a particular light that, yes, we do contribute. We do add to the body of comedy.
And see, right now,
is that your coping mechanism to deal with this?
That's the only way I'll be able to get through this. Okay. Is with comedy. Because without it takes me away from Daryl.
And like I met Tuesday when we was in Palm Springs, and she like, I'm Dee Middleton's wife, and I'm a comedian. I'm like, hey, you got to get back on stage because it hurts. When you're not on stage, you got to talk about it. You got to open back yourself life up. You know, just like me, I can get on stage and talk about my grandmother, how she raised us, and that'll bring my heart as an opening, like, yes, you know. But when you lock it inside, you like, I'm depressed. I ain't got nobody to talk to. And I understand comedy is an open avenue for everything. It'll hurt when you first start because it's like, how can I make people laugh off of my grandmother? Or my dad when they freshly passed away. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it takes time to develop that material, but once you learn it, he's gonna guide Tuesday into being funnier. And I'm gonna help, Sharonda helps, Sid helps, whoever there that helps, because we know the pain you go through when you just have a freshly death. I mean, 5 years is still fresh.
You are listening to Sitting on the Couch with the Comedy Convicts.
Oh, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
5 years of death is still fresh. People don't understand that. It's like, how long your mom...
I don't think it is no years.
No, it's not. Because you cannot. Just like when the kids got killed on the street, you can't tell that mother she'd be okay.
No.
Oh, but people do that. And that's... You know what? I wish that people would learn... People have to be taught what to say to people when they're grieving.
Yeah.
Because there's no time frame that, you know, I'm going to be better, I'm going to be over it, because I'm never going to get over it.
So this is my advice to everybody when they lose somebody. I tell them, look, and I know this from experience, the empty void would always be there, but that pain gets lighter.
Yeah.
The pain will get lighter, but that empty void will always be there. So you got to fill it with laughter and even the bad times of the person that you lost. The month of July and August, I was hit back to back with like about 7 deaths. We was burying one and another one was buried. Another one was passed.
And it's sad because it's like, to me it seemed like ever since this COVID came, we are dying faster than anything.
Well, they wasn't dying from
death. No, I'm just saying.
COVID took a lot of people out. He wasn't playing.
But that was the plan, though.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's still taking people out, but it's silent taking them out now, you know, because they're not talking about it no more.
That's true, though.
Wow. You get what I'm saying?
So that's like, I researched, me and somebody was on the phone talking, and we were talking about the AIDS. And so they, we were talking about when AIDS came out. But AIDS was actually out in the 70s, but they didn't make it public until the 80s.
Mm. To the 90s?
No, to the 80s. Yeah. To the 80s. Eddie Murphy started talking about it first.
Yeah.
And what was that, Delirious?
Yes.
I think he started talking about it. And then everybody started getting aware of it. But when they really made it publicized was in the 80s. And that's something, because you mean to tell me, all during the 70s, AIDS was there, but nobody knew.
Talked about it because
they were dying of cancer.
It wasn't a black thing. It wasn't a white thing. It was a black thing. So when black things happen, y'all talk about it. When Rock Hudson died,
that's from AIDS.
That's when it got publicized, because Rock Hudson was the biggest woman lover, but he was a homosexual behind closed doors.
He used women as a beard.
But he wasn't a woman lover. He didn't love women.
No, in the movie industry, they pushed all these women.
Because he was handsome.
Yeah, so
they pushed him as a.
And when he married to Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah,
but he used women as a beard, as a cover up.
So,
as a beard.
So like you say, just like right now,
guys.
Just like right now,
it was a whole bunch of
in Hollywood.
Oh, not just in Hollywood, all over the world.
Yeah, it's just like right now. You don't need a monkey pox no more.
I would like to marry a gay guy.
You know what I'm saying?
Have my hair done and my makeup done on a regular basis.
Look, we can go shop. I just told the girls that I say we can go shopping together. Give me a cross dresser.
I will be your mustache.
Give me a cross dresser, because I already know he loves. To go shopping, we gonna be shopping.
Me personally, I'm a lesbian. Me personally,
you and Drake, huh?
I'm a lesbian. Me personally, and I know, I know we talk about grieving and stuff, but I know my man is kind of grieving too, because he just found out he got diabetes. And he said, "Shit, ain't
but you know,
much.
I don't."
Oh.
I have my condolences with my brother.
Was it a funeral for him?
You got a little coffin.
Now that's some funny shit.
Sugar green.
You know what? I can't even come back on this shit. And that's so fucked up because I'm a comedian.
Your shit is dead and no work at all.
I ain't got no comeback.
I got you. You work at the county. They couldn't save
it. No.
You had to work for the state.
Sugar green. Okay, put it this way.
I got some sugar babies for you. Oh, I know that it's working though. I heard about you.
I'm 60 years old, and my shit's still working.
It's my doctor. My doctor.
Now, I don't give a damn what the doctor say.
He's a fucking doctor.
So, how many penis shots are you injecting in there?
Hey, but it was so funny.
You got a penis shot, or you got the pump? You got the pump?
And me personally, right, I know this man is a comedic genius. So, for him to come in on Thursday and make a joke, and the shit was funny as a motherfucker. I'm like,
it was fresh, you know.
And he should have made it.
No, but when he got out of the hospital, we talked. Yeah. And I told him everything. He said, the doctor told me the same thing. I said, I know.
I didn't know what's so bad. I didn't even know my sugar was high.
Wow.
You know, I just thought.
That's messing with all them little young girls. You know, they say girls are sugar and spice.
I'm drinking all that sugar.
You know, they say girls are made of sugar and spice and everything.
Wait, hold on. This show will be on grieving. Y'all ain't grieving on my thunder.
Apparently.
That's the grieving right now.
It died at the county. And you've been working there for 37. You've been working there for 37 years and they couldn't save your penis.
They couldn't save me.
Damn. That's fucked up.
But the thing about it is, I saved myself. I got off the metformin. I got off the heart shit they tried to give me and want me to take, and I'm good.
Okay, we
honest to God, I'm good.
We gonna leave it at that.
And I
we
ain't
gonna
leave it at that. To none of y'all on this
panel. And we don't want to be rude. We don't want no proof.
Okay, we don't, no proof.
I don't need no old rundown dingling.
But people gotta
realize,
diabetes is no joke.
Oh, it ain't no joke.
No, it's
and
not.
Diabetes do a job on you.
And it's diabetes, no joke.
You get something because, amputated.
But the thing about it is, when they did my whole body thing, they made sure I didn't have that I can feel.
Yeah, they
you know,
yeah,
I had no numbness in my legs.
Well,
I mean, I went through a whole transition that I've never been through in my life. I'm not.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, I thought I was dead. I almost died. If I wouldn't have went to the doctor that
night, you could have went into a coma, a sugar coma.
I was gonna say I would have died. But God has a plan for me, so I wasn't ready to go,
right.
You know. And that's why I tell people, when you know you good, God give you that second, third chance, whatever, you better change your fucking life.
I know for women, I was reading up on diabetes. It can cause women to have yeast infections a lot when they pH.
So you start, your biscuits start growing?
They stop.
You know what?
It was funny.
He over there laughing. Don't be laughing at my cheese. He laughed at
him when he said my shit wouldn't get off.
That's different.
No, it ain't.
Yes, it is.
No,
it ain't.
Nobody want no yeast infection, coochie.
I didn't say I had yeast infection. I said I read up on it. It can cause a lot of it can cause a lot of female problems for a female having diabetes. I just didn't know that.
And nobody understands that. And it's like, I would have never thought as soon as I turned 60. As soon as I turn 60, then I get sick, you know?
You wasn't sick before then?
I've never been sick in my life.
But that's the turning point for anybody, though.
Old age.
But it's not just 60. It's whatever age it is. And because we all have an expiration date.
Yes. Yes.
And as we get closer to it, but that's when our body starts to let us know.
But it's so funny because when the doctor called me 2 weeks ago.
Let me see your toenails because we can tell how good somebody healthy is from their toenails.
You can see my fingernails. They're good.
No, I didn't see your toenails.
No, the toenails.
You might didn't wash your feet today.
No, y'all might see my shit. No. Look, but it's like when you find out that you got this shit and they tell you how to control it and how you can reverse it, they don't even want you to redo that shit.
I know.
The fucking doctors don't even want you to do that shit.
Because that's not the point.
They want the medication in you.
Yes.
And it's bullshit.
Because the medication, it going into your system, breaks down what the body does. The body will heal itself.
Your body is
that's the way we built.
Yeah.
We are built to heal ourselves.
That's why when I was young, my mother never took us to the hospital. We was on remedies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That grandmama remedy.
Yeah.
You know, that chicken and soup and shit.
Yeah.
No,
you
know? Get you some whiskey, lemon, and honey.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Drink
all
that shit, baby.
Yeah.
I remember I used to drink so much whiskey, lemon, and honey.
But your body heals itself, and a lot of people don't understand that. And that's why I say these doctors, I don't know why people believe in these doctors.
Well, see, you have to
get some 3 sixes.
If you get any medication that says antibiotics, that's letting you know it's antibiotics. You need to be putting probiotics into your system.
That's true.
That's never good.
It takes away.
As soon as it says anti on anything, that's never good. That's always bad.
Now, when Dee had cancer,
mm-hmm.
what year did he find out he had it? And how long did it take him to break his body down? Because my auntie had it and broke her down bad. I mean,
in 2017, we found a tumor. And the crazy thing about it was the size of the tumor, they said, oh, yeah, we can remove it. It's not a problem. But I feel like once they cut
you in there, the air, the elements, you're opened
up. You're exposed to everything.
Everything. It messes you up. And that's real.
I feel like that's the turning point. Now, because he had bladder cancer, and I want to say that doctors sometimes say some of the most ignorant shit, and the doctor said, oh, you got the good kind of cancer. People don't die from bladder cancer.
Wow.
But what is bladder cancer?
Okay.
But what is it? I mean, I know it's in your bladder. Is it you stop urinating like the sugar?
You start having the blockage. You start having the issues.
Man,
the thing was
2 seconds I was peeing.
Yeah, yeah. And it was painful, and it was all you know, uncomfortable. The thing was, though, we were trying to monitor how the cancer was growing and where it was going.
Yeah.
Once the cancer penetrated the muscles and got into his kidney, that's where he started his decline.
That's where you're doing that in your
kidneys. That's where he started his decline. We went to Florida, we went to Arizona. We were doing all of these treatments and all of these different, seeing all these different doctors, second, third, fourth, opinions.
And everybody got a different opinion.
And everybody was saying something different. You know, A doctor was saying, you know what, you need to drink straight cranberry juice, straight beet juice, straight celery juice. Dee had high blood pressure also. Okay, so there's a doctor telling him you need to drink straight grapefruit juice. Wow. I'm not a doctor, but I know you do not mix grapefruit juice and high blood pressure medicine. No. That'll kill you right there.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you don't mix those two. Wow. So he was like thinking, okay, I'm at the farmer's market, okay? I'm at the farmer's market like faithfully. I had a farmer's market Monday through Sunday going to get the fresh fruit and vegetables so I could juice everything so he could just drink that and get the vitamins and nutrients into his system. Then he started having more issues because the medications mixed with certain things.
We're breaking it down.
You can't do that.
You are listening to the Comedy Convicts.
You know, you have to do a all-natural diet and not have meds in your system.
Now, what's his name? The one that they killed?
Dr. CB.
Dr. CB.
Yeah,
that
Dr.
Man,
CB.
And see, a lot of people didn't want to believe what his natural herbs was about.
Right.
And it's still here.
And we followed. Yeah. We followed a lot of his teachings, and we did a lot of his remedies where I felt like Dee had certain days where it was better.
Yeah, he felt
better. He felt better. Today was a good day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there were days when he couldn't move, he couldn't do anything. But then there was days where he was up and he was cracking jokes and he was writing and he was doing stuff. So I could tell if it was a health day, he was going to be okay.
Yeah.
It was when he had to take medication. And I'm talking about, there were so many meds. When I had to go through his bathroom cabinet to get rid of all, I got rid of more than 25 bottles of medication.
That's too much.
How can your body function?
It can't.
With all of that. Now, I'm not saying he was taking all of those, but in combinations, it was all of those meds. That's a problem.
That's what they told me. Take a double dose of your metformin. Okay. I took two. I start feeling sick.
Mm-hmm.
I start feeling sick. I'm telling you, man. I know my body.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this body for 60 years.
And that's what I tell people. Look, listen to your body.
And I know when that medicine that told me don't take this shit no more, my mind say leave this shit alone, I left it alone. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when I take my blood is always normal. Mm-hmm. It's never high. It's always fucking normal. And I told the doctor, he like, what are you doing? Keep it up, but keep taking this heart medicine. Man, you lost your fucking mind. I don't need that shit either.
But see, that's what they told Dee.
You know?
That's what they told Dee to take that medicine. They told him, a doctor told him, a doctor asked him, like, how are you feeling today? And he said, you know what? I'm feeling good, you know? And he said, okay. He said, well, you know what? Don't listen to your body.
Wow. Yeah, that's what they tell you, man.
What I said. There is so many doctors that will give you bad information. They are insensitive. They have no compassion. They are looking at you as either a number.
It's about money.
A paycheck. They're looking. You're not a person anymore.
No. See, we are guinea pigs when it comes to medication mm-hmm. and doctors.
Well, if you look at it. Doctors are practicing.
Yes, every doctor practices on
it. That's a practice. You
know, and that's why.
What is your doctor? He has a practice. He has his own practice. What is that telling you? They're practicing.
They're trying to figure out this medication.
That's not a doctor.
But they can tell him, okay, well, this one, you take this because it did work good on him. But it may not work good on him.
And we're all individuals. Yeah. So how can you lump us into one group and say, this group of people are functioning on this med?
That's why they pay you to do these researches.
Researches.
Uh-huh. You know, we'll give you $1,500.
No, $3,500, $4,000.
For a week, for 7 days, 15 days, or something
depending
like that.
On what it is.
Now, see, my dad died from cancer, but he had half his stomach removed. Mm-hmm. His sister had her stomach removed and his brother. So the doctor told me, we were standing outside and my dad was throwing up blood. I said, we about to go back upstairs to the doctor. And the doctor was like, oh, he'll be okay. Once he get his chemo and radiation,
see, they don't care.
I started seeing my dad pop up when he got chemo and radiation with like boils and stuff like that. And I was busting his boils or putting hot rags on it, trying to ease his pain and stuff.
Yeah, you can. So, with the,
I got something you can bust.
What they say? Let me tell you something.
They say it's up time.
We do this all the time.
I'm gonna go now. I'm gonna go there. So
Tuesday, we do this all the time.
Chewanda unleashed the beast.
So, but I can't because that's Darlene's husband. If that wasn't Darlene's fiance, I'd tell your ass some stuff,
okay,
baby.
But see, the thing about
I just wanted to say when you were talking about chemo and radiation. Daryl had chemo, he had radiation, he had BCG.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and to me, all of that thrown in on a person, I knew that there wasn't gonna be a good outcome.
That's how it was with my dad. He only lived, I think, a month getting that stuff. But I remember my dad was dark-skinned. Well, he was black. And he started getting blacker.
Oh, my grandmother said she not going through it.
And it was like,
she wasn't going to let nobody cut on her.
No, but that's
what my dad said.
Yeah, but see, you say that until it's like you're in a situation where you want to live. You want to live.
My grandma was 96
you know?
Years old. She said,
she done did her thing.
She said, I'm done.
She said,
I'm not letting them cut on me.
Yeah.
I'm going to let my body take its course.
Wow.
Everybody was there for my grandmother no matter what. Mm-hmm. And when my mother called me at work, she said, what are you doing? I said, I know already.
Wow.
I said, I know already. But my grandmother was that close to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know already.
So, Tuesday, what do you do like to get by during the days now? How do you like
cope with it?
Yeah, cope with it.
You know, well, first I
pull out that magic wand.
See, he's about to make me hate it.
I hate you. Okay. All right. I hate you. And you're broken dick.
Listen.
Okay. So,
no.
Just so
the magic wand was.
Yeah.
You ever seen those spaghetti noodles when you break them up and they be this long?
Oh, that's cold.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all give it at me. I got to come back on y'all because I am at
Okay,
community.
Noodle.
A serious moment right now.
No, serious right now. No, this is what happened. Yeah. I couldn't live in the house that Dee and I were in.
So you moved?
So I moved. I moved into our rental property. Daryl never lived there. He was never there.
So his body spirit was never there.
So, I didn't feel him moving in there. Even though there's stuff of his there, that's different. In the other house that we lived in, he had his office, and it was just so much of Daryl at that house. Sometimes I thought I heard him. Sometimes I thought I saw him walking through that, you know.
No, you did. That's real.
Well, but you know what I'm saying? I couldn't deal with that. So what I've been doing is trying to complete some of his projects.
Yeah.
That's been the goal, is to complete some of his projects.
Okay, me and Tuesday talk, because we're comedians. She was telling me that Daryl left a project on the table, and it's out there, and it's almost about to be picked up soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, what's the name of it again?
The working title is Pool Dude.
Pool Dude. So it's in hands of people.
Right.
It's Dee Milliti's film, you guys. So when it comes out, it may change the name, but once the name changes, we'll let y'all know. Because, you know, when people buy your movie, they want to change their fucking name to what they want it to
be. They want to change something. Right. They want to change some of the lines, too.
Yeah, no, but that's what they pay you for. So nothing we can do about that. But we want to let them know when this pool guy come out, whatever the new name will be,
mm-hmm.
we're going to let you know it's Dee Milliti's film.
Yeah.
It's not their film. It's Dee Milliti's film. His work. His hard work writing before he died.
Wow.
And I will promote that. And I will let everybody know this is not New Line's film. This is not so-and-so's film. This is Dee Milliti's film. Just like David Arnold. When David Arnold's projects come out, people got to let people know this is not their film. This is David Arnold's film.
Right.
Because we live through our work.
Right.
And if we don't let people know that's our work, how can we live through it? Or they say, oh, New Line bought this movie. That's, oh, that was a good movie. But you don't know who's the man behind it, or the woman behind it, or the kid behind it.
So.
Why are you patting on me like I'm dead?
Wait, on this show?
Oh, something is dead.
Yeah. Head more to the left. Head more to the left.
So,
we're winding down.
I know
we're
winding time, so we normally, everybody say some last word, but we're going to start off with our guest today. So you said,
that's right.
Tuesdays.
Just closing out the show.
Okay, I just wanted to say that with grief, take your time and process each part of the stages and do you in it. Don't let anybody tell you how long you should grieve. Don't let anybody give you a time limit.
That's right.
If they don't want to hear about what you're going through,
get the fuck on.
Get a professional. No. Join a grief group.
Right.
Talk to people who understand what you're going through. At this point, with so many male comedians passing, I would love to start the
Spouses.
Widows of Comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the women are ready, I have a list of women that I would love to kind of meet up with and talk to.
Yeah. Because it's never ending.
I'm not a spouse, but I'll be a support system.
Yes.
And I
want to
I want to shoot the film.
No, I have that contract already. Sit back.
Go ahead. I'm Keith Morris, you guys. I like to say, like Tuesday say, can nobody tell you how long? I lost my daddy in 1966. I was 4 years old.
That was the year I was born.
My grandmother died in 2004. My mom is still alive. She's 84. So I don't know how I feel to lose a mom yet. My daughter, mother lost her father and her mother within a year and a half.
That's
so it's a lot of pain there still. You know, it's going to be pain. I still miss my grandmother from now. And it's always going to be tragedy in my life because that was that woman that kept the family together.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people out there don't understand. That's why I don't understand how families be hating each other when you are supposed to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, grieve long as you want to, because it's a never-ending time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I miss my goldfish. It's my goldfish. Oh, my.
I can't
with him today.
This is Big Sandra guy. He lost his goldfish.
Take you instead. You know how people jump in the gas. Take me instead of my goldfish.
Take me.
But like I say, this is our show. We have a good time. We have a bad time. We always have a good time on the fucking convict couch. What is it called?
Thank you for coming again. 2 weeks.
Yes.
You nailed it twice in a row.
Yes.
You need to come back again next week. We need to put her on the panel.
Well, she can come.
I would love that.
Ain't nobody but Tyrande and me.
Yeah, because these raggedy ass other convicts.
I ain't saying nothing because
I'm going to say it. Them raggedy ass niggas, they ain't worth shit.
Well, I ain't a convict, they say. They say I'm not a convict.
No, you're not an original convict.
I'm not an original convict. I'm not either.
But you work for $300.
Oh, my God.
You know what? Okay. I don't get my fat ass.
Y'all don't even get a bottle of water.
I'm good.
Thank you for watching and listening to the Comedy Convict Show.
Next week, y'all. Stay tuned next week.
Y'all don't even get a bottle of water.
Thank y'all for listening to the Comedy Convict on the couch with Sharonda, Big Sid, and Keith Looking Around Moore, and our special guest Tuesday.
Hey, Tuesday about to be a regular guest.
And then y'all gotta bring your own security. You gotta be thirsty when you get up there.
And I'm not gonna let y'all sit on this panel and talk about my little donkey.
Your little
triple dick.
He knows how to trollop.
Sun-dried tomato.
He knows how to rise when he needs to rise.
So I heard.
This show.
I love this show.
Y'all
this show
are
crazy.
Best.
This is our show.
Yeah, y'all don't.
Thank you for joining Sitting on the Couch with the Comedy Convicts. We hope that you had a great time and that you'll rejoin us next week. Thank you.